You know how this works, Andrew.
I remember how it goes.
We've come back in time.
Now we got to do the intro.
That's right.
Yeah.
Why is it so hard to understand?
Time travel's crazy hard to write.
I get it. But there are some guests who sit here and are very confused about what has happened. But let me just boilerplate us in.
You're like, but we were at the end. How are we at the beginning?
Why are we doing more, Todd? Yeah. I guess that's their question.
That might be.
I had really banked on that being the closure.
That might be the behind the
scenes. That could be the thing.
Yeah.
We need another production meeting. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Todd Van Allen, host of Comedy About the Hub. This is Cat Pete, you and me. The pub is fake. The guests are real. We are part of the Antica, or Antica, as I prefer it, because that's antique in Italian. Network of podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, speaking of podcasts, speaking of sketch, speaking of nerditry, wouldn't be a season without him. Andrew Ivamy is in studio.
Were we speaking about those things? I mean, we were speaking of podcasts.
Yes.
We did.
That's
yes.
right.
Yeah.
We talk about many things.
We do.
We talk about many things.
Yes.
First of all, ladies and gentlemen, I get to announce that during this show, Andrew and I get to play a game we have not played in a while, which is Who's Worked More?
We go to the IMDb, we get nitty and gritty with it, we talk two actors that I get confused.
We also talk about, there's dog ownership for sure.
Locking the wife out of the house.
Locking the wife out of the house.
Yep.
That happens.
Yeah.
We get to talk about superhero movies.
Yes.
Ones that are good, some that are bad.
We talk about your balls.
That's right. A lot.
Some listeners might say too much.
Right. I might say that, and I talked about them.
But we did it. It's done.
Did you know? A new Star Trek.
Yes.
Is there?
There is.
Here's a quick answer. There is. Before we get into this, I'm just going to drag everyone through this. Friday, October 27th, I will be at Harut in Toronto here. If this comes out in time, I can't imagine it won't. Saturday, November 4th, a Comedy Bar. Write him up. Returns. Andrew's been a writer.
I have been.
And a performer.
I've had a very good time.
You have run the gamut.
Yes.
Which do you prefer?
I think I prefer performing. I enjoy them both, but I prefer performing on the show because I can take it.
Yes.
I got thick skin.
I can handle it. That's right.
And also, I don't think I can write large enough for your vision, so...
No, you do. I was taken aback by it. Your font is very girly.
I do have girly writing, but also he can't read it when it's small.
I can.
And then he can when I write a little bigger.
Saturday, November 11th, that's Remembrance Day. Bring a poppy and come down to O'Finn's Irish Temper. I've got a comedy show that night. It's a fundraiser for the Oakville Hockey Club. There's another headlining gig Friday, November 17th, the Burlington Legion. And then... Kingston, Wednesday, November 22nd through Saturday, November 25th. I'll be co-headlining at the Kingston Absolute Comedy Show. Saturday, December 2nd, the December version of Write 'Em Up. That's at Comedy Bar. Treading Water at the Gladstone, Tuesday, December 5th. And then in Ottawa, Thursday, December 7th through Sunday, December 10th. I will be performing at Absolute Comedy there as well. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. So here's Andrew.
Hello.
Here's me. Hi.
Hi.
And you're getting two voice actors.
Yeah.
Coming at you through your ears.
Just talking about balls.
This is too much bliss. I'm so glad we did this. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Andrew. Here's me. Listen up right now. Have you found your headphones?
I have. Have you noticed that there's a small, like, radio frequency interference?
Yes, it's back.
Yeah,
it's CBC.
Yeah, when you left the room, I'm like, why am I hearing a woman speak to me?
Yep, and be happy, because before it used to be John Gomeshi at some point when we were doing this.
Just whispering in our ears.
Mm-hmm.
Gross.
What do you want to talk about?
What is it that picks up the radio interference?
That cable.
Is it the one going into the recorder? No.
It's one of the feeder cables into the board.
Okay.
And that's what's causing all the consternation.
Okay.
It's gorgeous.
These?
Those are dead.
Okay.
So they shouldn't be bringing in anything.
It's one of the XLRs.
It's one of the XLRs. That's, listen to you with the terminology in the XLR. And,
buddy, I'm fully a podcaster now, bud.
You want to put your cans on?
Mm. Woo! Got the cans on?
Woo!
I'm happy with my monitor levels.
Very nice.
Mm.
How's your gain?
My gain is good.
Gain
I think.
Is okay.
I
do you want to pan?
Good.
Do you want to pan left or right?
I think I'm all right.
This is what drives the audience nuts.
Yeah.
is the inside baseball of like, well, with Darcy isn't here, I really don't get the chance to burn off all my production meeting energy.
Right, right, right.
So I've got that going for me. Yeah, it's my life has turned into a puppy. that's all that's happened.
What do you do with the board all the way over here if you have like a soft talker or a loud talker? You can't change it on the fly. You just try to set levels.
Oh, okay.
Before you
so
sit
let's
down?
Let's pretend you're one of those guests because it happens from time to time.
I just,
okay. So I'll ask you. Well, so tell me about your project. What's
yeah, coming? No, I'm working on the new theater show.
Fuck's sake, Jesus. Motherfucker.
Okay, so it's that.
God damn it. Okay. I'm sorry, continue?
Oh, well,
was this a book or?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Welcome to the land of short fuses, Andrew.
But what I love, though, is that you chose this seating arrangement.
Yes.
You could have easily decided that this was your chair.
I could have.
Which is what I've done for podcasting. I'm like, I'm the chair next to the soundboard.
Right.
But you just leave it open.
I am a creature of habit.
Mm-hmm. Or is that the Darcy chair?
And it is the Darcy chair.
Okay.
It's like when there's the son is off to war and you haven't heard whether he's back or not, and
right.
the mother still puts a plate out for
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like when the son runs away,
yeah.
there's always a plate for him just in case he comes through the door that night.
Yeah.
So just in case Darcy Kool-Aid mans his way through this wall,
gotcha.
Then he's right because I don't want him to come back and go, Jacques,
you've changed everything.
And then
I see
leave.
You've moved on.
Right.
It's just me sitting there. I'm running the soundboard now.
I even tried. There was one. There's a run of episodes where I had the guest here in this chair.
Uh-huh.
To the listener, Andrew is right across from me.
Yeah.
In the I would call the standard cat pee formation.
Sure. Yeah. Andrew. It's a round table that we have, and we're sitting across from
and
one
another. And so there's the configuration. This actually for 14 seasons, I don't think people know how we set this up.
Okay.
So starting at we'll put the guest at noon at the noon.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a round table. So the guest sits at noon. Behind the clown nose, it means it's got a red mic cover. We call it the clown nose.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down the clown nose. That's where Ivan is. If you go to the 9 o'clock position right beside the soundboard, that's Darcy's chair. That's the producer chair.
Yeah.
I'm sitting right at six. Right mm-hmm. at six, sitting across from midnight guest right there. The 3 o'clock is for some gadabout that the guest brought that we don't
okay.
really care about.
Sure.
9 times out of 10, their microphone isn't even plugged in.
Sure.
Don't care about them. They weren't invited.
There's not even one there right now.
Exactly.
You, yeah.
Even if it's like a two thing, like when we had the Parker and Seville
mm-hmm.
when they were here, I had to pick one that I liked more and put him in the 12th position.
Right.
And then whoever sat in the other one knew his place.
Right.
Didn't.
Right.
Now he does because
right.
now he's listening going, I was
Wait
in
a
the
minute.
Three.
Oh.
I was in the three. So yeah, I even at one point I did a run of guests where they sat in the three and I in the six.
Okay.
So we're just at a quarter table
yeah.
being a little conversational like that. And I remember Jackie Cation the second time she came on, we did that.
Yeah.
Didn't care for it.
Yeah, I...
It felt a little too close.
I changed seating positions on my podcast recently,
uh-huh.
and my co-host, Diana,
right.
my wonderful girlfriend...
Yes, your main squeeze.
Yeah, yeah. She does not deal as well with change as I.
It's
so
a chair.
It is. I know. I completely agree. But for a year,
right.
she had her chair,
uh-huh.
and I had my chair.
Right.
And then I happened to rewire a few things and move where the soundboard was,
mm-hmm.
and then I just changed what chair was going to be my chair.
Sure.
And didn't give her the heads up. And then the guest arrives.
How do you normally do
and
this?
We,
do you do it in writing or a quick
it should've
instant
at least,
message?
It should have at least been a verbal confirmation.
Sure. Just a... quick text heads
yeah.
up. Okay.
And then the guest shows up and I sit down in the wrong chair and
in
you
quotes.
you would swear that the building was on fire. It was
uh-huh.
just yeah, it took a couple podcasts to revamp the energy to be like,
right.
"Oh, okay, you're
uh-huh.
you're in a different spot now."
Jesus.
Yeah.
So, I guess she's got her own feng shui going on
mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
we didn't realize.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The
she enjoys planning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
she's a plan.
Here's mine. I get so set into routine
yeah.
that it takes me a third party to come in and really sort of jar me from my thing. And this is the perfect example. You know when you go to the gym you'll hang out with, like, you'll have like kind of gym floor friends and
sure.
and change room friends because you seem to be on that cycle, whatever.
Right.
And
you have a routine. Just, you have yeah. people on a similar routine.
Exactly. And so there's small talkery and that sort of mm-hmm. thing. And during the winter and the spring and the fall, I would always take my clothes, shower there, sort it out for the day and blah. And then during the summer, I would do the exact same thing. And one of the guys at the gym looked at me and went, you live close here, right? He says, yeah, we know where each other live. We're like kind of in the neighborhood. He goes, yeah, why don't you just go home and shower in the summer? And I was like, oh, because I could not come up with it. I didn't even think of it. And I just like, oh, I needed that. But I didn't want to look like I was that stupid in front of him and go, well, I got an audition this morning. I gotta get to. So I just figured I'd do this first.
It's because I'm an old man and yes. I'm legally required to have my balls out at the right. gym yes. at least once a week.
Exactly.
That is it. Once you're middle age, uh-huh. a cop shows up yes. at your door uh-huh. and they're like, by the way, you're not allowed to shower at home anymore.
Yeah.
You gotta drip dry in the gym locker room yes. now. This is your and right. whether you like it or not, uh-huh. you have to abide.
Yes. You can have a couple of hand fans.
Yeah.
That's really it. So I didn't realize that women had a similar experience. Because my wife, okay. when she goes into the change room, she's like, they, apparently there is. And I guess the Baroness von Sketch show
yeah.
did this as well. It was a similar thing.
I saw the sketch, yeah.
And I was like, oh, good. Women have that too. And so I had sent that clip to my wife. And she's like, oh, my God, that's hilarious. And then she just stopped. Like, she just thought of something horrible happening.
Okay.
Like I left the iron on at the house or something like that.
Is it the fact that she is that person?
No.
No, okay.
She turned to me and said, you don't do that, do you? And I went, of course. Yes, I do. Are you kidding me?
Of course you do.
Like, you could literally time a 1/10 of a second egg for the amount of time my balls are exposed. I go, towel, underwear, boom, that's it.
Woof, woof.
Yes.
Out.
It's a blur. I'm like the Flash in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like the Flash stopping the Flash.
Yes, but with older balls.
Yes. Older. Why are you obsessed with the age of my testicles? This is a first. Are you okay, pal?
I don't know.
You okay? I know I'm a fucking wreck.
Hey, there's a
what's your deal?
There's a confidence that comes with
yes,
age.
There is.
And that's why the old people do it uh-huh. at the gym. It's to freak out the young people who have not gotten to the point in their right. life yet where they've said to themselves, just fuck it.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, it's just, there's yes. just, there's a level of confidence with uh-huh. the age that says, fuck it. It's right. out. These mm-hmm. are my balls. Get used to it.
Right.
Yeah.
I did.
They're here. They're droopy.
They're
get
droopy.
Used to
get
it.
Used to it. I did catch myself walking past a mirror the other day as I was getting dressed, and I looked over and went, yeah, I guess they're kind of going. I don't know. Maybe. They're just, because I really, like, had I known, I would have done that thing, like, you know, when you go into the kitchen door frame and you mark the height of your kids
yeah,
as
yeah.
they're growing. It's like, I should have done the same thing with my balls because I really don't reverse. Have any sense of scale. So, like, when I
that
moved in, just yeah. stand in the bathroom and, like, mark off the bottom. And
people don't talk enough about it. People exactly. say when you get older, the eyes are the first to go.
Yes.
And I'm like, no, it's the balls.
Are you getting ball drop? Is this why this is coming?
I don't even know. I don't have a standard unit of measurement. That's the other
right,
thing,
it's
too.
All relative.
Yeah, it's all relative.
Thankfully, my wiener getting larger, so it really masks
so it's
problem.
All good. We're doing
yeah,
great.
That's right. Yeah. those pills I got from Thailand are really hitting the mark.
What a seamless transition into this episode we've had. Like, this has just been just a smooth ambush podcast. How does this soundboard work? And also, how's your right. balls?
How are your balls?
what kind of microphone is this? And what's your ball sitch?
Right. You literally have described every audition I've had at Sound Advice. Every single one. Todd, how are your cans? Good. Balls?
Good?
Awesome. Let's
right.
do this read for Goodyear.
All right. We're rolling. Let's right. do it.
Okay. Just slay Todd and, you know, smile when you say it.
Yeah.
That's it.
God damn it.
Oh. Have you been auditioning lately? Because ever since you did that Coors thing, I can't not hear your voice.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm still doing the Coors thing, so I'm the regular voice for Coors Light. Mm-hmm. But other than the recurring Coors gig, it's been a little bit. I haven't been out auditioning and doing the whole acting thing as much lately.
Right. I did my first.
Not by choice. The phone's not ringing. Let's get that straight.
I don't get out of the bed in the morning unless I've got script in hand.
Yeah. It's not because things are going well.
Just put me in the room, darlings.
Mm-hmm. I'll do it night of.
Yeah. I got to do my second home record for an audition.
Okay.
And I don't like those.
I hate them.
Because this is what I like about going. First of all, recently I've noticed it gets me out of the house.
That's fine.
I'm okay with this now. And secondly, there's someone there to tell you what to do.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that I like.
That's one of the things that I take pride in as a performer is that I take direction well. And when it comes to live in-person auditions, I'll take direction well. And on top of that, I'm a live performer with a stand-up background. So even if they're not providing proper direction, I know how to read a room.
Yes.
I know how to look through the glass and see the disappointed faces.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you.
And then think to myself, not like that.
Right.
So
that has offended them.
Yes. So, but when I'm at home, and now I feel like 90% of voice acting now, it's all self-record auditions.
Right.
And when I'm at home alone, I'll just say something into a microphone, and then I'm just filled with self-doubt and loathing where I'm like, is that anything? Like, I don't know what anything. I don't know how to self-direct.
Right.
Because if I'm going out for an audition for, say, like an animated project, and they'll have a character, and I'll get a brief breakdown and maybe a drawing, and they'll be like, this character is kind of like a pothead burnout.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go in to read live, and I get in the room, and I'm like, all right, so where's everybody going, man? And then I see the faces, and I'm like, okay, not that kind of pothead burnout. Right. And then I can be like,
like someone with a pot on their head.
I'm like, maybe it's a little more high energy, like Bill and Ted pothead.
Right, yeah.
And then I see smiles, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's where you wanted it. But I never would find that on my own.
No.
I'm just shooting shit in the wind and just hoping something sticks.
Auditioning is like this. Okay, so what I want you to do, the home audition, if you equated it to the studio, would be like this. Okay. What I want you to do is we'll pretend that you've just walked into a studio.
All right.
There's no one there.
Sure.
It's just a single light and a microphone, and you stand in front of it. They haven't even bothered to let someone adjust it for you, because why would you know how to do that? And you just hear, slate name.
Andrew Ivamy?
Read the script.
Can't get enough of that wonderful Duff.
That is all. And then you're done. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And then you're just... I used to leave auditions going, oh, I kind of think I did okay. And now I'm just emailing that thing going, well, here goes.
Yeah.
Whoopsie daisy.
Yeah.
Don't know what happened.
Who knows? And it's still the same kind of shit shoot that live auditioning is a lot of times, where it's just you're either right or wrong. And you're either right or wrong for the role. And it's not necessarily any intonation of what your performance ability is.
Right.
It's just whether you're right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But at least when I'm in a room, I can go in with a voice, see smiles and know, okay, that maybe let's turn that up to 110%, or let's bring that down, or just like see blank faces and go, okay, this one isn't the one for me, and that's okay. But when I'm just taking a wild guess, that's the other thing too, is that like I've just got no self-confidence in a vacuum.
Yes.
Like, I can't... I couldn't practice my stand-up in front of a mirror and then look at my own cold, dead eyes and be like, well, that's probably a good joke.
Sure.
Like, I can't do this shit in a vacuum. I just can't.
No, and that comes from our own training. I mean, like, there is no... Like, if you think about it, it's movies and television that are the only art forms that don't have a instantaneous reaction meter. That you can go back and retool things.
Yeah.
Like even that said, I had this discussion with a musician.
But even with TV and film, you have the director who is your reaction
and
mirror.
A focus group.
Yeah.
And, you know, executives come swooping in and giving notes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, why does he have to be so male?
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. But even with like music, like, once you put out a song, very seldomly does the band go back and go, that didn't work.
Right.
Like, once you're doing a song, you're doing a song.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I don't know why that is. Like, imagine, like, all those B-sides floating out there that if they just went, you know, maybe a 4-4 time would be good.
Right.
You know? Maybe put this in D major. Something.
Right. Right? Right.
You know, maybe lyrics that don't suck. How about that? How about that, the hardest button to button? How did that one get out, White Stripes?
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm saying.
Right, right. Mm. I think there is a place for that, and it's called covers that are more successful than the original. What you're describing is Jeff Buckley's right. Hallelujah.
Okay,
where it's like,
yes.
It took a third party to come around and be like, what if I really just crunk this out of the park?
Right, right,
yeah,
right.
It takes a new person, I think, to do exactly what you're saying, to find these B-tracks and be like, I'm going to do a cover until people forget right. what the original was, if
what
they
was
ever knew.
Jeff Buckley's Hallelujah?
I can't sing. Like, I'm not going to do an
Leonard,
impression of
that's
it.
Not the Leonard Cohen one, is it?
Yeah.
That's a Leonard Cohen one?
Yeah, it's a cover of the Leonard Cohen one.
So he was trying to cover Leonard Cohen's?
Yes.
He was trying
Well, he was doing his inter... Like, you know, cover might not be the word. He wasn't sure. trying to do a Leonard Cohen impersonation.
Okay.
But he was doing Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah with right. his stank on it.
Right.
Yeah. with his distinctive.
I have to come clean. Joke that happened from the last podcast. It was that when we recorded, it was with Jillian English. And it was the day after, I think, Gord Downie died.
Okay.
So we were talking about that. And so we were trying to describe it to the listener, like the American listener who wouldn't know who Gord Downie is.
Sure.
And we're like, just picture like, you know, Michael Stipe and, you know, like a huge poet. And I came up with, he was Canada's Leonard Cohen. That's a nice joke, right? Sure. Be nice if I could have remembered at the time who the fuck Leonard Cohen was, blanked on Leonard Cohen.
Oh.
That joke did not get said.
Okay.
And this is, it's
you like he's Canada's. He's Canada's dead air.
Is what dead air. Yeah, so that happened. Like
right.
you can literally, if you go back and listen to that episode, find that moment, and you'll literally hear me go, come up with like another word for poet, like
right.
laureate. I think
right.
I bailed out on, but like I'm literally going, what is his name? It's Cohen. It's not Jewy, but kind of. Like, this is all going through my head. I'm just scrambling to find this. And by the way, I told Jillian that as she was leaving.
Yeah.
And she was, and I was like, who sang this?
Yeah.
And it's like, Hallelujah and Closing Time. And she went, oh, it's, I went, right?
It's that
guy.
No,
we just blanked. Right. We both blanked right. on Leonard Cohen. I've never felt more small in my life. In my life.
A similar moment where I felt very small.
Yes.
Because there's been a million covers of Hallelujah,
yes.
as we all know.
Uh-huh.
And at one point, I was with some friends at a bar, and Hallelujah came on.
Right.
And I listened to it for a second, and I turned to my friends, and I just went, oh, for God's sake, do we really need another cover of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah? And my friends just looked at me like I was an idiot, being like, this is the original Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, fuck me, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, just, I'm an idiot. Trying to make a sardonic remark about some shit I don't know about.
That said, the joke I love making, and I will never stop making it, because it pisses off both fans of either of these bands. Mm. Whenever I hear the Beatles, it comes on like a radio, like, you know, or just at a restaurant or bar or something like that.
You're like, hey, it's the Monkees.
I go, oh, I love Oasis. And then it just makes Beatles fans go, "Rrr." And the same thing right. for Oasis fans. As soon as the Oasis comes on, I go, oh, I love the Beatles. Yeah.
Yeah.
That said, whenever the Tea Party comes on, I go, I hate this band because I can't stand the Doors. And that's fucking valid.
That is a good one.
That's valid.
That is a good one.
That is true.
And to go back to a thing you were saying a moment ago with trying to come up with an analogy for Gord Downie.
Right.
I can't remember. I think it was a CBC piece. I was reading some article recently that was trying
wait,
to.
Wait.
CBC wrote about Gord?
You're saying the CBC
yeah.
did something about Gord Downie.
I think they might have did a thing or two.
Of the tragically hip Gord Downie.
Probably just a back page piece. You
That's
know what I mean?
Weird. Okay, continue. All right.
But I wish I could remember who wrote it, but they were trying to describe it to an American audience as well, saying right. that to any Americans who are unfamiliar with the Tragically Hip and with Gord, there is no analogy. It would be right. like if Americans had, if Leonard Cohen, Bruce Springsteen, Bon Jovi, right. they just took like yeah. every ultra American musician possible.
Right. Right.
And they were like, and they were one person.
Uh-huh.
That is Gord to Canada.
I'm glad they did have someone in the house that understood American music. Just, I mean, just picture Billy Joel, Lady Gaga, Elton John, you know, Seal, you know, bring them all together.
All the classics.
Yeah. yeah. Tori Amos, Tori Spelling, Tony.
Yeah.
Bring them all together. Right. KRS-One.
The Ramones. You know, all the classic. All the classic American right. hits.
Huey Lewis, Not the News. News.
Yeah.
Those people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We all sort of knew that one was coming, though, right?
Oh, yeah. yeah.
And yeah. then even just today at the time of recording, what's his name? B.B. King.
Yeah.
Died.
Yeah. Was no, not B.B. King.
B.B. King? Nope. Fats Domino.
No.
Minnesota Fats. Nope. Fats Domino.
Fats Domino? Is that who it was?
Fats Domino. That's who it is.
Fats Domino. Okay. Yes.
Blueberry Hill.
Yes.
Yes.
Fats Domino. I will not look it up and just
the,
trust you that it's
by
Fats.
By the way, well, because we all know how good I am with remembering You're, names of musicians.
Absolutely.
I'm really good.
So you'll get some tweets yeah. about this later.
I had... Do you ever have like one of those things in your brain where it's just like, I know it's this, I know it's this, but as soon as I see it, I do the other thing.
Yeah.
Because I had, when I was growing up, Mushroom and Marshmallow, always confused.
Okay.
I always had Fats Domino and Minnesota Fats.
Okay.
Always mixed up.
Okay.
What were yours?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I only know them when they occur.
Uh-huh.
There's always, it's usually an actor. It's usually an actor or actress that I just flip the two.
Right.
And I know that it's not the same person, mm-hmm. but I fuck it up all the time.
Right.
Stanley Tucci.
Okay, I'm listening.
And Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, I get that.
Very
sure.
They're fairly different people.
Yes.
But I will never not fuck it up.
Both have been suited government types in action films.
That seems right.
Both have had careers playing weaselly characters.
Yep.
In some aspect, not entirely, but some. Who's a better actor now?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Oh, no, we're going to do this, Andrew.
Oh,
we're
going to do
this.
Do?
We haven't played this in a while. In fact, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back.
Okay.
With a
this involves
we
research.
Haven't done this in so long.
Like we're,
and
bring
I'm
in the,
so
bring
happy
in the
we get to do this.
Bring in the team.
Andrew, you and I are going to play a little game I like to call Who Worked More? We'll be right back.
2016 was an amazing year for Endy Sleep, Canada's fastest growing mattress company. The Endy mattress was named one of Canada's top innovators by TechWeek.
With 5-star feedback, Endy's award-winning mattress is getting rave reviews for being incredibly comfortable.
You order your Canadian-made Endy mattress from their website, and it comes delivered in a box to your door. You have 100 nights to try it out risk-free, and if you don't absolutely love it, Endy picks it up and returns all your money. No questions asked.
Upgrade your sleep in 2017. Visit EndySleep.com and use the special listener gift code
CATP50.
To redeem $50 off of any Endy mattress, that's
CATP50
to redeem $50 off any Endy mattress. The Endy mattress really is the best mattress ever.
Happy sleeping.
All right, so here we go. Andrew, have you, I don't know how many times you've done this show. You've done it, what, six times, seven times?
About that, yeah.
Something like that? You're
a good handful, at least.
I think you may be in the, this may be the five time club.
Sure,
I
feel confident in that.
I should go downstairs and check it out because you are one of the guys. I go, this isn't a season with.
Yeah, we gotta have Andrew on to have yes. another season. Yeah.
What about all the seasons that he wasn't?
Don't
on?
Worry about
seasons?
It. Don't worry about it.
No, that we've only done 5 seasons. So this is how this works.
Okay.
And grab a pen. You can use the back of that sheet, or oh no, use this lovely pad of the Wong sisters.
All right.
Okay. So what we're gonna do. Is we're going to play the game Who's Worked More, which is a nice little... we haven't played this in ages. I love
okay.
it. Love it. So we're going to lock in. Because Darcy isn't here, normally he'd be looking up this research. We have to lock in our answers first.
Okay. Should I draw a grid pattern like
you don't
have?
Need to. You don't need to.
Okay.
I'm just going to put... so we got Giamatti.
Okay.
Okay. You just put him over there. Giamatti. And
versus
then over here...
Tucci.
The Tooch! And I can't even take credit for that. That's a Jimmy Pardo utterance.
All right.
But okay. So we're going to use IMDb.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to determine who worked more. And it's under the category of actor.
Yes.
Okay? Not appeared as or anything like that. Any sort of TV thing, actor. Just like actor.
I'm going Giamatti.
Okay.
I'm going Giamatti.
So you're going Giamatti. So write down. So you're going to put Giamatti there. I'm going the Tucci.
Okay.
To make this interesting.
Just to be contrarian, or do you actually think it's Tucci?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
Okay.
One, I actually think it's Stanley Tucci because I'm a huge admirer of his work. And secondly, be a little of a dick.
Okay.
Now, the second aspect of it is guess the number of roles that they've both had.
I'm putting Tucci sub 100. I'm putting Tucci in like 80s or 90s.
Lock in on a number. So we'll hide those. We'll hide those.
All right.
You've gone on record saying Giamatti. I have said the Tucci. So I'm going to say... Okay. Once you have your numbers, I'm not looking at your numbers.
All right.
Look over there. If you could provide the listener. Oh my God, I just locked the door. I just got a text from my wife. We'll be right back again. There we go. Are you coming in?
Yeah.
Okay. So
what an interesting episode this has been.
So to the listener, as I flipped out my phone to describe what happened, I've turned over my phone, and you know, when you see your phone, there are updates on the screen. Uh-huh. One of them was 2 missed calls from Agatha, who is my wife, and a text message below it saying, "Did you really lock the door?" Because she was out walking the dog so we could do this. And I found out something about you. You and I do the same thing. We force of habitly.
You lock a door.
You lock a door.
You're coming through a door.
Right.
You lock that door behind you.
Now, here's the thing. If I'm going out, certainly I do.
Yes.
When I am in the house myself, leave it open.
Leave it open. Fair enough.
I get that.
Fair enough. That's each person's prerogative. But also, in what scenario would I assume that your wife didn't have keys to her own home?
So know this.
I locked it behind me.
Know this about my wife. There are times when she leaves keyless. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh my God, can I take mine? Mm-hmm. You know, we'll be out somewhere and that's it. Okay. So
we were playing.
Who worked more? So I will look these up.
Uh-huh. So we have Giamatti versus Tucci.
Yes.
And for the record, I'm saying Giamatti because I feel like I've seen that man in more ridiculous things he shouldn't be in, which leads me to believe he's saying yes to anything.
Okay.
Like, he was the Rhino in The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
That is correct.
The fact that Giamatti received a script and at some point was like, yell at someone in the CGI green screen inside a mech suit.
Yes.
He agreed to that.
Uh-huh.
Tucci, I don't see Tucci as much in things where I'm like, you shouldn't be here.
Okay.
But I've seen Giamatti in things where I'm like, you shouldn't be here.
Right.
You're giving it 180%,
uh-huh,
but you shouldn't be here.
So again, the Rhino.
Uh-huh.
From the cartoon, one of my favorite villains of all time.
Uh-huh.
From the movie.
What?
It's like he was still doing Sideways.
Yes.
It was like he was running into buildings. I'm not going to drink a Merlot. That's not what you want from your villain.
Do you remember what was the movie he did with Clive Owen? It was an action movie that was meant to be like a live action in the style of like a Bugs Bunny. Like really ridiculous, over the top. Clive Owen is like eating a carrot the whole movie.
Oh.
It was actually a surprisingly good action comedy because it had like a weird genre twist.
Shoot 'em up. Okay.
Another one where I'm like, weird role for Giamatti. Right. The movie works and everything works.
Uh-huh.
But Giamatti was like, yeah, Bugs Bunny live action comedy villain. Uh-huh. Of course, that's me.
Right.
No, Giamatti. What?
Right. So with Tucci, since you've covered the Giamatti career,
yes.
Tucci, he's got in his quiver the Hunger Games. So there's 3-4 right there.
Tucci's in the Hunger Games?
Yeah, he's the interviewer. He's the interviewer on the chair. He's like the MC, that host, with the big blue bouffant.
That's Tucci?
That's Tucci.
Fuck me, okay.
May you be confusing Stanley Tucci with someone completely different, and you're just like, oh yeah.
No.
This guy has worked way more than this guy.
Did I double down on the flop? No. I'm imagining okay. Tucci as this, and now I haven't seen The Hunger Games.
Okay,
so this is fine. Generally being surprised.
That's fine. This is what we will do.
Stanley Tucci is exactly who you think.
I wanted in my head for you to be confusing him with Rainn Wilson. Something like that. Like who's been in I don't know, 14 things.
Right.
Which is unfair to Rainn Wilson. He's been in a lot of stuff. Did you ever see that detective show that he did?
I feel like Stanley Tucci I have occasionally mixed up in my head with Mark Strong.
Who's that now?
With
we're not playing. I'm not doing a third column.
I know we're not doing a third column. Is
who's
it Mark Strong?
Mark Strong.
He's in the Kingsman movies recently.
Bald fella.
Yes.
The bald fella from the Kingsman.
The bald fella from the Kingsman movies. That gentleman there.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Who was also the evil magician in the first Sherlock Holmes.
Yes, he was.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes.
So Tucci and Mark Strong.
So you get those two mixed up.
Also.
You get a British fellow with a weird tooth.
But we're talking about Giamatti
and
Tucci.
Italian.
We're talking about Giamatti.
The thing I love him, he's one of my favorite actors, if for nothing else, The Big Night.
Okay.
Which is just him and Tony Shalhoub as brothers in an Italian restaurant.
Okay, I haven't seen that one.
And it's gorgeous. Liev Schreiber's in it. Oh. Mark Antony is in it. Doesn't say one word.
Oh.
Which makes it even better. Minnie Driver's in it. She says a bit. That kind of ruins it. But then, you know, the rest is fine.
Sure.
Side note, Kingsman.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it, the second one.
I've already seen it.
Oh, okay.
It's been out for a while.
Has it?
Yeah.
I don't get out of fear.
That's fair.
Have I told you I'm housebound?
I think it was very fun
okay. And
highly recommend it.
Okay.
Yeah. The first one was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it because I get to yank out my Colin Firth impression in front of my wife that she hates.
Oh, good God. I see why she hates it.
Yes.
We locked her out of the house today.
That's right.
But now I wish she was here, not you.
I should have not apologized in my Colin Firth voice. I'm sorry. She's like, will you stop it? Okay. Mm. So here are the numbers from IMDb. Okay. First of all, give me what your numbers are for the actors. How many roles you thought they had.
I was saying Giamatti at around 124.
Okay.
And I was saying Tucci at around 86.
Okay. So here were my numbers.
Uh-huh.
Showing just how little media I consume outside of four or five distinct things. I had Giamatti at 64.
Okay.
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 And the Tucci just slightly more at 71.
Okay, I think those numbers are going to be way too low for both of them.
Just a bit.
Okay.
By a degree, almost. So, Giamatti, what did you have? You had...
124.
He's at 105.
Oh, okay.
105.
Overshot it.
And Stanley Tucci, the Tucci, 123.
Damn it.
Doom is yours.
All right, Tucci takes that
one. The Tucci.
The Tucci takes that one.
I love that game.
That was a fun game.
What else are you going to use IMDb for?
Yeah.
Unless you're like me, watching Wonder Woman again last night, going, who the fuck is that again?
Who was it?
First of all, you're talking about Gal Gadot?
Or?
No. Hippolyta, for one.
Yes.
What has she been in again? And she did that, and they had...
Princess Bride.
Nope, that's the other one. That's Robin Wright. Robin Wright was a Princess Bride. Hippolyta was her mom... Who was in?
Oh, right.
She was in. Oh God! And I looked it up twice for my wife. What is it? It's a Gladiator.
Okay.
She, I think, likes wearing tiaras. I think that's a role choice.
Suits her well.
I assume you liked Wonder Woman.
I liked it very much. Yeah.
I loved everything about it. The second time, though, in watching it, I wish they'd made a second casting choice for the villain.
Oh yeah, it has a villain problem. It's a great movie. I think that she embodies hope and optimism, and just like the moment mid-film when she comes out of the trenches, like that is just a moment where you're like, God damn it, this is a hero.
Yeah.
And there are many moments of that in the movie. The soundtrack is beautiful. It's all well done.
Mm-hmm.
They just fucked up the villain story. And they shouldn't have, at one point, the actor playing Ares, who has just a hilarious little mustache.
Right.
has spoilers, by the way.
Spoilers. God damn it, there's someone out there going, I didn't know he had a mustache.
All right. But they CGI his face on like a ripped body.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Like a skinny middle-aged man with a mustache.
Right.
Does not work.
So I agree. I don't think there's just one. I think there's two villain problems. The first one, like you say, mustache guy. Because at the time we went to the theaters and watched it, my wife and I were catching up on the most recent season of Fargo.
Uh-huh.
Which has that villain playing the villain in Fargo. Except the villain in Fargo is this doughy British man named Varga, who's a bulimic and plays with his weird teeth.
Okay.
Right? So he's not a pleasant character. So when we saw him in here, it's like, oh, look at that. He got another
branching
role.
Out a bit.
Right. And then suddenly, like at that three quarter mark, we go, oh no. And then it got a little funny when you're just watching like the I'm Charles Atlas body that he's on top of with that stupid bulimic head.
The body of an Adonis and the head of a bulimic with a mustache.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just picture if you would my head just floating on top of a Photoshop cutout from Pumping Iron.
Yeah.
That would be that.
That's about right.
That's fair.
Yeah. But you had a problem not only with him as Ares, but also with Captain Mustard Gas or whatever it is.
Dr. Poison.
First of all,
if that's what the boys in the trenches are calling her.
Yeah.
You need to read more Guys in the Trenches.
Yeah.
Get a creative team in there.
Yeah.
Right?
Dr. Poison ain't cutting it.
I understand that you're kind of low rent, but like Dr. Poison probably the easiest thing. And she just sort of had that visage, like obviously they're trying to make it look like, oh, this is a weird face thing that she's done because she died in one of her, she didn't die in one of her experiences, she got, deformed in one of her accidents. So they gave her like a...
They're trying to do like a
ceramic
a Javier Bardem in, what was the Bond movie that he was in?
Oh, Quantum
Solace. Quantum of Solace?
Yeah.
Yeah. That like collapsed face kind of.
Yes.
Yeah.
So... I actually, when I looked at her, I went, oh, they decided to bring in a villain from Hellboy.
Right.
Like, that's what it felt like to me.
Yeah, it was out of place.
Yeah. I was like, don't need it.
Yeah, everything else felt kind of like just gritty and in the trenches in World War One, and then it was like, and we also have a couple very cartoony villains in, even though it's a comic book movie, the rest of the movie doesn't have that tone, and it doesn't quite work. Yeah.
Even the general... who, you know, had his little snuff pot filled with energy drink. You know, he'd break the capsules and become like, I am strong man now. Thank you for the good poison.
Which is just cocaine. It was just cocaine.
That's all. Can we just say it was cocaine?
It was just cocaine. The general's like, I created this new drug and watch me. Oh, I sniffed it. And now I feel like I've got a bunch of small business ideas.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's cocaine. That's not a super.
That's right.
You didn't invent a super soldier for him. You're doing cocaine.
I'm sure on the outtake reel is him rummaging through a closet and Dr. Poison going, what are you doing? I'm looking for my guitar.
Yeah.
I have a song about an obsession.
What an idea for a song.
Yes.
No, it doesn't work.
Does not work.
Let's open a bar.
Yes. What?
Come on.
This is just
the cocaine talking. it's just cocaine and mustard gas, and it's just it's so silly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But outside of that, it's a fantastic movie.
Like,
until you hit that point.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a movie with villain problems, which makes it more like a Marvel movie than a DC movie.
Yeah. And it wasn't that severe, but I had a moment like that when I watched Catch Me If You Can, Now You See Me.
Uh-huh.
Right?
I have not seen that.
Okay. It's an...
I have not now seen you.
It is, an adequate movie.
Uh-huh.
Like, you can sit there and go, it's magicians doing a crime, like doing a bank heist.
It's a movie that I've meant to get drunk and watch at
Absolutely.
Home. Yes.
Are you a heist guy? I like a heist.
Me and Diana, my girlfriend, we love a good heist movie.
Right.
And we love nothing more than having a few drinks at home.
Absolutely.
Poking fun at a mediocre heist movie.
Right. There's some nights where when we have nothing to do, I'll just turn to my wife and go, well, which Oceans will we watch tonight? Like, it's that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So this could have hit the sweet spot of like heist and magic.
Yeah.
I like magic because I like fun things.
Mm-hmm.
Because magic.
Yeah.
It's something I don't know how to do. Magic. It's fun.
But from everything that I understand, right. It's a movie that isn't really about magic as much as it is the magic of filmmaking.
Yes. So
it's like the ending of the movie is not like, and then there were a bunch of hats.
Right.
The prestige. The ending of the movie is right. being like, and we could CGI in Thanos if we
right.
wanted to.
Right.
Well, the Hulk's here. Like, they could just do right. whatever they want because right. it's a fucking movie.
It was one of the, I think I saw it in the theater. And I was fine until the last 2 minutes.
Mm.
Like, it was when they were getting to that point. And when they do the big reveal, which I believe is the word they use in magic,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
They do the
sure.
or the prestige, if you will, when they do the prestige.
The prestige hats.
Right. I looked at the screen and whispered in a not too quiet voice, oh, fuck off.
Yeah. Like,
I was like, I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Right.
Because I want your drinking night to
it's
have
gonna
fun.
I'm going to have a good time.
But honestly, watch it. Like, I almost want to warn people, when you see the counter hit the, 4 minutes to go mark,
yeah.
stop the movie and eject it.
Okay.
Because
okay.
Because literally, the second you cross that point, you just go, oh, fuck off. It's oh, so
what,
bad.
What I want, as someone who hasn't seen the movie,
right.
what I want the movie to be, and I know it isn't this, but I think this would make this this franchise, because
right.
they've had two of them now,
uh-huh.
much better, is that magic should be real. This
yes.
should not be
yes.
a movie about, like, 4 or 5 or 6 or however fucking many magicians it is.
Right.
And they're magicians as our world knows them.
Right.
I want this to be a heist movie where it's 5 or 6 magicians
uh-huh.
in a world where magic is fucking real.
Right.
When they reach into a hat and pull out a bunny, that bunny came from an alternate Earth
yes.
filled with bunnies. And they made a goddamn bunny appear.
Right.
I want this to be a franchise where magic is just straight up real.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to shift cards.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, like, magic is real, but not all too powerful.
Right.
Like, there's no, like, One Ring, Lord of the Ring okay. type magic shit. But there are people who have figured out, like, the bunny pocket dimension.
Right.
Like, that
okay.
kind of real, a soft magic world.
Right.
Yeah.
They haven't found the One Ring to rule them all.
Yeah.
But if you need a rabbit.
They got it.
Okay.
They got it. Is this your card?
Is this your card?
I thought it might be.
And make that stretch to the animal kingdom so that literally they are the foundation of the animal kingdom and all the animals. Animals need to do is, like, the foxes just queue up at this hat
yeah, yeah.
and just, like, hit a button and this thing springs out
gone.
And they chase it.
Yeah. Out. Yeah. Yeah. I got to drink and watch this movie.
Yeah, you do.
I very much got to check it out.
It's what has caught your fancy recently in terms of, like, films and stuff like that?
Oh, shit. What has caught my fancy recently?
Now we've just shat on something.
Right.
Let's find some joy in something.
One thing that I will say has gotten very good despite rocky starts and a lot of criticism, the new Star Trek show.
Okay, yeah.
The new Star Trek Discovery, it has gotten very good. It received a lot of criticism. There's a lot of criticism from general haters
mm-hmm.
Of people who are very upset that this is a progressive Star Trek.
Okay.
To those people, I say, have you watched a Star Trek before?
Right.
I made a video about Star Trek Discovery on my YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And just the hundreds of comments that I had to delete from just people who are
racist,
sexist.
I remember you tweeting about that. That's right.
It is insane how many people are... And, like, I know that people who are racist, sexist, and prejudiced of any kind are not in their right minds.
Mm-hmm.
But just to see this stuff and to see how stupid they are to be like, oh, this show is ridiculous. They made Star Trek about being progressive and accepting.
Right.
I'm like, that's what it's been about this entire
yes.
time.
Wait until you go to Earth and you have a council meeting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And like, so many people are, and I think it's just, like, the time that we live in and the backlash of lunatics out there that are like, oh, I can't believe that if there's a black character on the mm-hmm. bridge. They've had that. They've
right.
had that.
Right.
For the 50 years of Trek, right. they've had that.
At this point, it's rage
this
for
rage's
sake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
oh my God, and a woman too.
Those were some of the comments.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of haters out there. Haters aside, there are some reasonable criticisms of the first, I'm going to say, 3 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It has a rocky start, but then again, the first season of any Star Trek is always the worst
oh,
season
yeah.
of Star Trek.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Captain Pike.
It's rough. It's
yes,
rough at times.
Yes. You got a guy sitting over there just beeping his way through the script,
mm-hmm.
you know? You know, with a now they're doing a review story. Oh, which is shot perfectly, by the way. We just happen to have all these cameras stationed in your history.
Yeah, yes, it's okay. Very casual.
Yes, is that the way it happened? Boop. Okay, good. Thank you, Captain Pike.
But by episode 4, 5, and 6, it gets good. It gets very traditional Star Trek about just kind of like hope and optimism and being like, well, we need to, it turns out this species is sentient. Mm-hmm. We need to let it go and not study it biologically because this is a living creature. Like very, very traditional Trek. Right. And with some kind of modern dark undertones, but I really like it. I think it went to an awesome place, and I highly encourage anyone, if you've ever enjoyed a Star Trek, give this series a shot. I know the first three are a little rough, but think of it like any other Star Trek where it starts in a bad place, and then it gets to somewhere that's comfortable and familiar and fun.
Yeah. I look forward to trying it out. I've always sort of like I've always been like a Star Wars guy. I just recently rewatched Rogue One.
Oh yeah,
and because I just ordered that in, and that still holds up.
I think Rogue One is great.
It's just so, it's fun. Like it's a nice way of like how did the pieces get there for Episode 4? Like I like that. I like that idea. And I like when I look at my history of viewing from childhood onwards. Like yeah, okay, obviously it was a Star Wars guy, but like definitely Star Trek was in the milieu.
Yeah.
I look forward to seeing this. If for no other reason, we know a guy that's in it.
In what regard?
Started out as an extra, and now he's like an extra with like an extra with benefits.
Oh, the new Star Trek.
Yes,
the new Star Trek. Oh, I thought you were still talking about Star Wars.
No, we don't know anybody in Star Wars.
But yes, our friend of the podcast, Jason DeLine.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, then we know two people.
Oh, who are you talking about?
I was talking about Adrian Sawyer.
Oh, Adrian Sawyer's in it. Yes. I did not know that. Okay. Yes.
Huh. Both fun guys.
Yeah, you've had DeLine on the podcast, right?
Yes.
So DeLine apparently is playing a medical officer at some point. Oh, so so he'll be showing up
there
as well.
There we go. Yeah. Yes. We must have him on and discuss that.
Yeah.
I think so. And it'll be one of the episodes where I'm like, okay, so what's going on? I can't talk about it. God damn it.
Yeah. You'll have to wait until his episode airs.
That's right. Okay, so you do stuff, a thing and a thing.
Yeah.
He's the king of that.
Yeah.
Him and Carolyn Bennett as guests have like come on to talk about things they can't talk about. It's wonderful. I love it. It's so good for an audio podcast.
Right?
Anything you've seen that drove you nuts?
What?
Because you review a lot of things for your from Superheroes podcast.
Yes, for Talk from Superheroes.
Talk from Superheroes.
What have we seen recently that drove us nuts? I mean, we've been revving up for the release of Thor Ragnarok.
Right.
So we watched the other two Thors and covered them on the podcast. The first Thor, amazing.
Yes.
Way better than I remembered it being. Mm-hmm. It's directed by Kenneth Branagh and it's King Henry. It's Shakespeare's Henry V in space.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. And then the second Thor movie, I remembered it being good. And upon rewatch, I'm like, oh, this isn't. I don't know why I remembered you being good.
Yeah.
I think maybe it just uses like a lot of these like false narrative tricks that seem interesting on a first view. And then on the second one, when you know that a twist is coming, it doesn't really have any emotion behind it or meaning. It's just like not quite a Shyamalan twist because it's not a big plot twist, but these little character reveals that seem meaningful on first watch. And then on rewatch, I'm like, oh, that doesn't really do anything other than just kind of change things for
it's Varga from Fargo.
Yeah. It's nothing. Yeah.
The I had that with the second Avengers movie.
Yeah, I think a lot of people had that. You know, with the second
and it's like the second album was always the hardest one, right?
Yeah.
And like I go back to that first Avengers movie where one of the best moments, if I have this right, it's the one where Hulk just picks up Loki.
Yes,
and just
smashes them around.
Boom, boom, boom. Best moment, in superhero stardom.
Fun,
I would say.
Playful, it works. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I am looking forward to Ragnarok though. I think Ragnarok is the new Thor movie is going to be as fun as that first Avengers. The early reviews are saying it's pretty much a straight up comedy. Like it is just wacky and fun and a huge ensemble cast. Mm-hmm. I'm wildly excited for this movie. I might have my expectations too high, some might
say. So that concerns me as soon as you said wacky, madcap, and comic.
Mm.
Because that's what I think did me in on the second Avengers, where they seem to break the fourth wall a lot. I'm just like, you know,
right.
Hey, is that hammer got an odometer? Yeah, you can pay extra and get that. Yeah. Who the fuck says that to Thor? And why is he responding like that?
Age of Ultron did have way too much of that, and they tried too hard, and the jokes didn't land.
Yeah.
I hear Ragnarok, it tries hard,
right,
and it lands, okay, like closer to Guardians of the Galaxy, okay, where it's like, it's fun.
Sure.
It's a group having fun in space, okay, and they do the dang thing.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I can't talk too much about Guardians of the Galaxy, because I'm going to be going on I Love It, I Hate It, in December to talk about that very thing.
Ah,
so
nice.
I don't want to burn a lot of gas on that.
That's fair enough.
But I will tell you this,
Keep
Andrew,
that fuel in the chamber, Todd.
Let me tell you about my opinions,
yes,
about Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I hate
and
it.
And I hate it.
And I hate it.
Yeah. I feel the same about 2.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
One is pretty much a straight love for me, but 2 is complex.
See? One feeds 2 for me. One kind of just hands the baton.
Okay.
Like, I do like these movies.
Right.
But I can't get into it.
Okay.
Now I'm the Carolyn Bennett of my own show. I can't talk about it.
You just can't talk about it.
I can't talk about it.
I just can't talk about it.
One of the things that I adore about the From Superheroes things, the entire... I'll call it an empire.
Network.
Network.
We say, you know, network. You can say network. From Superheroes Network.
Go with empire. I kind of like that. I like the air-controlled,
you know,
nerd empire.
You can call it an empire.
That's right.
I can't call my own thing an empire.
Why
that's
not?
That's too conceited. You can't do that. You can't do that.
I think you got it in you. The thing I love about it is, like, as soon as I need the straight dope on something, I can go to it.
We got it.
And one of the things that actually drew me to your Star Trek feed was when you were on Twitter going, holy shit, my delete button is worn out today.
Oh,
and it's just like when I see these things, I go, oh, fuck, I got to get over there. What's going on? There's doings going on.
There's haters happening, and they're just lunatics.
It's
so sad. It is so sad I do feel sad for these people who are just wandering the internet, leaving comments because they're angry that there's people of color and a gay couple and progressive values on Star Trek, and they're like, it's an attack on our culture. I'm like, what fucking culture do you have?
Exactly.
You don't have any. And also, this is what the show has always been.
Yeah.
This isn't some like PC agenda switcheroo.
Uh-huh.
The whole moral of every Star Trek episode ever is, what if we dealt with it with acceptance?
Right.
Like, that's the moral of every episode ever, which is just like, tolerance?
Right.
And then they get places. Like, that is it.
Captain Pike, we would like to ask you some questions, but first of all, let this council rise for the saluting of the Confederate flag.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's what they're looking for some reason.
And it's featuring Ted Nugent.
Oh, God.
Let me put it this way. I'm going to guess 30% is the ripe number for like we saw it with the Ford elections. Mm. We saw it with Donald Trump. Like, Donald Trump always has like his core is 30. And if you look at his approval ratings, they're closing
in on 30. Oh, for the hateful crazies
out there? For the hateful crazies out there.
Yeah.
So 30% of a Star Trek audience is going to be that.
Yeah.
How they've navigated those waters is beyond me.
How they've managed to watch 50 years of Star Trek with their eyes closed and hands over their ears and not getting the moral of any of it.
I think I know how. Not clever.
Lower intelligence.
They're really not. Like, I don't know why they put a woman and a black person on the bridge. Oh, well, there was one who was both.
You mean Uhura?
Yeah. Test pattern. Boo. Gone. So whenever... Like we're going to see that sea change, and we're going to have to fight it as we're fighting it now in real life, sadly.
Mm.
But it would be nice to sort of like just have one thing in art where we go, you know what? We don't need to worry about those people.
Right.
You know?
To like, be like, well, these fans are smart.
Right.
They're not.
Like, I wonder how many, Portlandia message boards have fuck off cuck libtard in there. I don't think many.
I don't think many. They're there, though.
Sure.
They're everywhere.
Sure.
I can guarantee you they're
but
there.
But you know it's some bearded hipster with short pants and suspenders going, I love irony, and then typing it in, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
One other thing that's been kind of grinding me lately, I'm currently editing a YouTube video about this for the channel.
Okay.
Is that I was having a conversation with a friend of the podcast, Ian McIntyre.
Hey, Ian McIntyre, yes, of course.
A little while back, and we were talking about Ghostbusters. And it led me to the realization, and then this just started cascading down, that in all 80s action movies, there's always this weird B-plot villain that I oddly relate to now in the year 2017.
I remember seeing this post. Yes, so, continue.
Like, so in Ghostbusters, there is an EPA agent, the Environmental Protection Agency, Walter Peck, who is like, hey, you have a nuclear reactor in the basement of a firehouse in Midtown, New York.
Right.
Shut it down.
Right.
And he's the bad guy. Because in the 80s, any oversight and anyone holding you accountable was the bad guy. But if you in 2017, if you make that movie, and I know they remade Ghostbusters, but not a plot-by-plot remake, that
I don't count it because it's got chicks in it. Continue.
That character, the environmental protection agent who wants you to not have nuclear materials in the center of New York, is a very reasonable human being and not a villain. And there's so many of the Lethal Weapon was another 80s one where it's like the psychologist is like, Riggs shouldn't be in the field. And then the sergeant is like, you and your psych bullshit, sweetheart. Yeah, yeah. And then Riggs is like, has a gun in his mouth in the next scene. He's like, I don't think he should be in the field.
It's like a chew toy. For a puppy, as you go gong, 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 like that. If you wanted to find the villain or like the B plot villain of an 80s film, just look for any character with a clipboard or a stopwatch. That's all you needed. It just looked like glasses and typically bald.
I'm actually going to say the 80s was such a like the blue collar people are the hero. Mm. Anyone wearing a tie.
Yes.
If you don't even need a clip, just the ownership of a tie makes you the villain in an 80s movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. In Bloodsport, he goes AWOL from the military. And there's just two military guys like in just a proper suit who are like, please come back. Mm-hmm. Don't go to the murder tournament.
Right.
And he's like, no, I got to go to the murder tournament.
To Luke Gordonfield's credit, the evil guy in every 80s
ski comedy.
Yeah. Like, looks like him. Who's I'm looking for? What's the name I'm looking for? The guy that did like Pretty in Pink, John Hughes.
Yes.
Every John Hughes movie had like that guy with like the pop collar and the good hair, right?
Right.
The nice looking guy.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. The one who wanted to use Luke Gordonfield's language to fuck your girlfriend.
Yes. Revenge of the Nerds. It's the alpha males. And like even like the gross guy was like, I hate nerds. And it's like, well, he's like the one sub guy.
Yeah.
That they were able to rope in.
Yeah.
You know, because he was a football player, which was an established clique and team and sport and
Die Hard.
Oh, God. Yeah.
The journalist in Die Hard is just a journalist trying to report on a terrorist attack.
Right.
And he's trying to report, and this is very much true, the gross incompetence of the police and FBI handling a terrorist attack.
I would argue there's two there. So there's the reporter.
Yes.
And there's also the, not the FBI guy, but like the guy who's the boss of the...
He's like the police chief or something. Yeah.
The guy who played the principal in Breakfast Club.
Yes.
Yeah. That asshole.
Yeah.
Imagine that's your cast type, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, I would not turn down any work.
Well,
I would not turn down any work.
The actor who plays the journalist in Die Hard is also the EPA agent in Ghostbusters as well.
That's right.
His bread and butter in the 80s was man with job doing it.
Right.
And that was the villain of the movie.
That's right.
Not the main villain.
No.
Not the, like, Gozer, I am the devil incarnate villain.
Right, right.
But the B-plot villain.
Right, right.
That man made a living being that.
I am sure Night Shift had one of those as well.
I would say
They're running a brothel out of a morgue.
Yeah.
Probably that's one.
Yeah, and there's probably one person who's like, don't do that. And they're the bad guy.
They're the bad guy.
They're the bad guy.
Yeah.
It is just insane.
I don't think you like rules, Ivan.
The 80s were a hell of a time.
They were. And they were invented by a German colonel in World War I who had a sniffy gas fit. Just, I have to write down these plot lines. There's a man doing job and why is my German Russian?
What's happening?
Why is that? Oh, this is why I don't get voice work.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I can't wait. What happened on that audition reel I sent out? Russian? German.
He did German.
Oh.
And then on the German one we asked for, he did Russian.
Das ist not gut.
So he can clearly do both.
That's right.
But he doesn't know what they are.
No.
Is this a Giamatti Tucci situation all over again? or at best a Tucci Mark Strong. Who knows what
both
it is.
Both Italian, I will say that. Don't know about that Mark Strong business.
Yeah, but, that's a whole different bag of worms.
I think he's British.
That's a whole different bag of worms. I believe British. He is. Yeah, he's just a kind British
man. You don't have another like that and not be British, yeah? Anyway,
yeah, you're right. He does have the head shape of an ex-SAS officer.
Yes, exactly. How are we doing? We got to get out of here.
All right.
We got to get out of here. From superheroes.
Yes.
I will say the Empire. You will say Network.
Yes.
We have a Twitter feed. We have a website. We have a sketch series.
All
we have
the
a podcast.
Yes.
The only thing you're missing is a novel. When's that coming out?
I mean, we have actually been working on book
two. Okay, there you go.
So yeah, we have a webcomic, a YouTube channel, and a podcast. It can all be found at fromsuperheroes.com. Mm-hmm. If you want to hear the podcast, myself and my co-host Diana, every week we pick a superhero, a piece of superhero television or film. One specific thing every week, and we dissect it and joke about it and have comedian guests on. And it's called Talk from Superheroes. You can get it wherever you listen to podcasts, mm-hmm. or go to talkfromsuperheroes.com. If you want to hear me and my co-host talk about superhero movies and stuff. Yeah.
What about your stand-up? What you got any shows coming up?
I actually got a little bit of time off from stand-up now.
Nice.
So yeah, just mainly just focusing on the network or Empire,
the
if you
Empire.
Will. Yeah.
1-800-267-EMPIRE.
Empire today. Right. From superheroes.com.
You need a jingle.
I need a jingle.
You need a jingle.
I need a jingle.
Oh.
I think we just did it.
Did it? No, we can't use that. That's copywritten.
Don't worry about it. The Empire people can't touch me.
From superheroes.
No, I'm stealing the Empire mattress jingle.
Alrighty.
Fuck you, Empire. Come at me. I am the one who knocks.
That's right. You better lawyer up.
Today. Yeah. we have ads for Casper Mattress on our podcast. Come at me, Empire Mattress.
Casper.
Alright.
We're an indie sleeve company. You shut your fucking pie hole.
The mattress wars have begun. Everyone suit up.
Yes. I love that there are two. This is when we'll tell our kids about the war of 2017. How did it start? Well, there were two mail-in mattress companies.
Was it Coke and Pepsi? No. It was Andy, Lisa, and Casper.
That's right. There's a Lisa?
There's a Lisa, yeah.
Oh,
I think Lisa only just branched off to Canada, but they got more of a rep in the U.S.
Oh, fuck them.
There's three big ones.
Okay.
There's room for three companies.
This is an
indie
house and you shut your hole.
That
now
is
listen.
Fair. They make a comfortable mattress.
They make a very
visit
comfortable
indie.
mattress.
Indie.com and use promo code TVA.
You're very close.
Oh.
Cappy50. It's indiesleep.ca, I believe.
Okay.
Go to the website for this. Why are we having this conversation? Here again, we started with a production meeting.
Yep.
We're ending with a production meeting. People can find you online at Ivamy.
Yes.
Beautiful.
At Ivamy, IVIMEY, mm-hmm. on Twitter or pretty much any social media. I'm on there at Ivamy.
Couldn't be happier to have you on today.
Thank
sir.
You for having me.
Thank bro. You. Thank you for coming spending time with the dog.
Oh, it was a treat.
A
for locking
cute,
your wife out of the house.
Dinner, locking my wife out of the house. I'm not going to hear the end of that in a while.
She
okay.
threw something at the window,
she
right?
Did. It was a tennis ball.
It was a tennis ball. Okay.
Or the dog. I really don't know how the walk went.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
It's like, yeah. We could be we're getting another dog.
I hope it was the tennis ball. And the dog's like, I can't catch that.
That's what are you doing?
It's a second story window.
Right. It's bad when the dog calls you on your bullshit. Mm-hmm. That's nice. Ladies and gentlemen, speaking of Twitter, you can. Were we talking about Twitter?
We were.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stay out of this, listener. I love that you're the voices in my head, listener. Listen, you can
your
follow
money's
me.
At Bill's house. Ted's house.
You can follow this very podcast on Twitter at CATP Podcast. That's right, folks. Cat P. You can follow me personally at HeyStBA. Go to iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. Talk shit about us in the commentary. 5-star rating. Shit about us in the commentary. Go to our sponsors as well, and make sure you go and visit the From Superheroes Empire. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Andrew, the erstwhile Darcy, and myself, when you listen to Cat P, you're in for a good time. Jimmy, you are always the podcat.
Lately, I find I rush. Can't piece together the sun and the sky or the spots on my face. And I must be stuck, my feet already are.
We did it. I hope the microphone picked up my wife saying, "Where's your ball?"
Talking about tough balls. Where's your ball?
I hope that happened.
Oh, hi, everybody. This is Lee Smart here, one of the cast members of Illusionoid. Be sure to join us every week as we improvise an audio adventure and transmit dire warnings from the future as part of the Antica Podcast Network. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Illusionoid Pod. See you in the future. And remember, today's apocalypse is really just tomorrow's dystopia. It's comforting, isn't it?